Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks Podcast for the 5th of July. Ooh, I think that's a holiday, isn't it? It's right around here. Anyway, I hope you had a good one. If I'm off by a day or two, I hope I didn't offend anybody. So, here's what's happening today. What you're going to hear is an introduction to a long string of content related to the 2012 Porcupine Freedom Festival. I'm going to release this content piece by piece. So this is episode 149A, deals with our review and recuperation after the week we all spent at Porkfest. You're going to hear me, Mandrick, and Osborne on the show today. We were really in rough shape last week. This week's show is we're going to get back on track. But we were looking for a way to cancel the show because I was very, very sick at the time, and both of them were completely exhausted. So we said, hey, we'll get together. We'll get in front of these mics. We'll just talk about the week we had. It will be three guys having a conversation, and at the very least, for the purpose of continuity. But you'll hear us talk about many things. You'll be frustrated because you won't know what we're talking about. But then, in the days that come, you'll see 149B, 149C, 149D, maybe up to something like 149P. I hope that doesn't get annoying. This is how I decided to do this. I was going to bonus content most of this stuff, but I think there's a lot of stuff here that you should be able to hear. There's going to be video of a lot of it as well. That might take a little bit longer, but I want you to have a record of what went on during the week. A lot of good interaction, a lot of comedy content, more than like really valuable educational content. But that this is still an educational podcast. I want to remind people of that. And I actually, at Porkfest, locked down a very exciting guest for our resumption of the Logical Fallacy series, which will happen as soon as all of this Porkfest material is out. I also have some exciting news within the next couple of days about the new SchoolSucksProject.com website. So look for that as well. But some of you might listen to this show and think it's kind of amusing. Some of you might write to me demanding an apology. Either is fine. I understand both. But this is our review and your introduction to the 2012 Porcupine Freedom Festival if you did not attend. Thank you for listening. Take care. Hey, folks. This is School Sucks Live. I am Brett. With me tonight, Mandrick.
Hey, what's going on, Brett?
And Osborne.
Hello, Brett. Hello, Mandrick.
Hello, Osborne.
It's nice to be back together again.
It is, isn't it? It's been about 3 weeks.
We actually have our other host in the studio audience tonight, Corey.
Corey's here. He doesn't have a microphone, so he can't answer.
Just wait. And we have no video.
Just wait for the cameras that aren't on.
Frustrating night.
Right.
No video.
None.
Just audio.
Your facial hair. My facial hair.
I know. I really...
visible.
What do you got going on?
I just... whatever.
Well, I was all excited for video tonight because I have a mustache.
That's what you want to call that?
It's a Fu Manchu.
It is.
It's the style.
You pulled up on your 18-wheeler and you got out.
I like where it's going, dude.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
And sideburns, too.
No, don't shave it.
And a tight shirt.
You do have a tight shirt on.
Yeah.
You can see those pecs.
Can you?
No.
No?
are you trying to be like Adam Kokesh?
Whoa.
No?
Slow that down.
Okay.
My goodness.
Okay.
Those biceps on that guy. Out of control.
Anyway, so what we're going to do tonight is...
What are we going to do tonight?
We're just going to talk about Porkfest. We just got back. We're still in this decompression.
Hey, how about this? Did you ever have one of those jobs where you just work... just like crazy, and then someone's like, hey, let's talk about work.
Well, that's your problem, man.
And that's Osborne's problem, too.
Oh, yeah. And I
was there, too.
You were there. You were weird. Working.
You know, I actually got pretty stressed about not having to do that much
really?
At Porkfest. But when you have to get up on stage in front of people, it's...
Yeah.
It's
no, it's not. It's pretty easy.
Oh, is it?
For some of us.
Thanks. All right. No.
I thought you did really good, Brett.
You did, Brett.
I did, but I certainly stressed myself out as far as, you know, the whole getting up on stage in front of hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands.
Millions, actually.
Millions of people.
I counted millions.
So.
I will say, I got to say to anyone out there listening that our host here, Brett, probably had two of the most funny parts of Porkfest.
Yes.
That he orchestrated and was a part of.
And we can talk about that tonight because they were both great moments and they each deserve some time to talk about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We will also take your calls. Our number is 843-JOIN-SSP. You can Skype in. School Sucks Live, all one word. We look forward to hearing from you. And we're gonna keep it loose tonight, I think.
Loose, okay.
Because I have some kind of flu. I have a mustache, flu.
It's related.
Yeah.
We had a little role reversal from last week when I had the flu. And we did the show.
Right in the middle of your busiest week.
I sat next to you during for two segments and you had the flu.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't make out with you or anything.
Well, not during the show.
During what show?
There was the after.
Right. Brett, don't worry.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
The video cameras were off.
But that was cool because we got hijacked by Stefan Molyneux.
Oh, on our show? Yeah. We had a great... it was actually kind of terrible, but...
Should I go back and listen?
I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny.
I'm not going to listen.
We had Stefan Molyneux start out the live show with us from Porkfest.
Right.
And he totally train wrecked it.
That's and then you had me on
the entire time making jokes about my back hair.
Wow. I think it was funny that you bumped the guy from England to have me on. Like, why?
Is it
like Jake's such a great guy and you
Jake DeSillis from DeSillis, Voluntary Life. Yes. Yeah.
Voluntary Life.
I brought him up on stage with me.
He was very cool.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Awesome, he's awesome
guy. Awesome guy.
Oh yeah.
Lots of content will be coming from Porkfest.
Oh, okay. Jeebus.
Audio.
There
and
are over 60 hours of content.
Oh, he's not just, he's talking about videos that he took with his phone.
Oh, there's that too.
And he's like, hey, yeah. Mandrake, do this dance thing. Like just random moments where I'm like, I'm not doing this, Brett. Just please. Yeah. It's creepy.
Mandrake's new thing is that he won't do anything I ask him to.
No, like I did video. It. I do things. And then he's like, okay, hold on. Let me get my camera. And it's like, it's too late.
Do it again.
It's too late.
Yeah, he won't.
I don't do reruns. It's just original content.
I can see why that would be the case.
Right.
No, but we all had a terrific time, but in very different ways. Or maybe I shouldn't speak for everybody. You're rolling your eyes. You did not have a terrific time.
It seemed kind of like a blur. Like I've been trying to process it since I got home. And I'm just trying to remember what happened. And normally... with Porkfest, I have the similar experience, but it was because I'm, you know, insanely drunk the entire week.
Yes, you are.
But this week there was no drinking, but it was just so much work and chasing around kids and trying to get all the work done while chasing around the kids.
Right.
And if my wife heard me complain about it, she would like be really pissed because I didn't do a fraction of the chasing around of kids.
No, I saw your wife chasing around your kids, and it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, for those who are unfamiliar, we should talk a little bit about what we did. You were the organizer, Osborne, of this event.
Of the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah, more or less. I was kind of like a figurehead where other people really did the serious organizing. You know, people like my wife, who did a lot of the scheduling and the... dealing with people's emails for months leading up to the thing.
You were the head delegator.
People like Garland, who took care of the Facebooking and the website and the whatnot. People like Kelly, who handled all the volunteers.
And what you did was you just kind of sat there with a Panama hat on.
Yes, I did.
Looking
walk around.
Like the guy who was. Yes,
he looked good doing it.
Dan D'Amico was fond of saying that I looked like a boss.
Right.
So whatever that means.
You needed a cigar, and you would be set.
Well, this is what I said on the live show. We talked about Osborne's Panama hat and how when you have a Panama hat on, it's kind of like the unofficial uniform of guy in charge.
Exactly. I will say, I wish people were posting more pictures of Osborne and his Panama hat because I feel it looks rather dashing. Mm. I didn't really realize that before.
No, you looked fantastic.
In particular, it covers up my bald head. right. which is a benefit.
The ladies clearly cannot get enough.
Clearly.
So that's what Osborne did. Mandrick, how about you?
I worked.
And what do you do?
I made food for people.
What kind of food do you make?
Like 19 hours a day. What? I don't know. We did sandwiches, gyros.
What's the name of your business?
Really? Oh, you want me to plug myself?
Sure. Yeah,
I'm pretty good at plugging myself. George's Famous Baklava.
And George used to be you.
Yeah, that's still my name, but whatever. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
what were the most popular items you were selling?
Well, I mean, we had the train. We brought back our signature sandwich, the train wreck, which is like 10 pieces of bacon weaved into a nice little blanket with gyro meat on and all the toppings. We made 180 pounds of those, which was 320 weaves. Sold out by Saturday morning. It was insane.
The last day.
Yeah. Forecast. Well, yeah. Sunday. No, we opened Sunday. We had great business serving breakfast and early lunch. But we went through over 850 pounds of meat. It was crazy.
So, Mandrick, tell me. We were talking earlier off the air about a number of Porkfest features that have kind of jumped the shark at this point.
Yes,
do you feel that the bacon weave is approaching that shark jumping steps?
No, there's no way.
No?
There's no way. I mean, we made half as many bacon weaves last year, and we still ran out this year.
Okay, but do you feel like maybe you should do like a Seinfeld and, you know, quit while you're big?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a staple of Porkfest. I mean, people are like, when has anyone ever said, you know what, you could stop with bacon now? I've had enough of bacon.
I think people may used to have thought that, say, about the Soapbox Idol.
That's a whole different thing, though. This now is bacon. Has
reached its pinnacle.
This is bacon. Like, whole religions build their structure around not eating it.
I don't know. I think
this is like the greatest thing in the world, you know?
I think you should prepare yourself for the day when maybe you should switch maybe to a new idea.
We will have other things, and we are constantly evolving our menu. I mean, we had plenty of new things this year.
What was the least popular item?
We had some Greek yogurt that we just bought at the store for like the vegetarians that were like, don't eat this.
Chobani?
Yeah, but we had a sign up that said,
were you just going to give them like a scoop of yogurt?
They're individual little size ones.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's just that gross crap people eat. Whatever.
Hey, we are going to pretty much rely on your calls tonight. And we're not going to
talk about nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sick. These guys are exhausted. 843, join SSP, Skype in, School Sucks Live. This is School Sucks Live. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to School Sucks Live. I'm Brett. With me tonight, Mandrick and Osborne. We're going to go right to the phone, 719. You are on the show. Who's this? How can we help you?
Hello, my name is Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
I'm in Colorado Springs, first-time caller, long-time listener. I've actually gone through pretty much your whole catalog of podcasts. Very impressive.
Wow.
Are you in a forest fire right now?
No.
Are you the guy standing outside the window right now, just staring in at Brett?
No, that was a couple of days ago, actually. The worst of it was pretty much Tuesday night. So,
I've been seeing...
Luckily, the fire's gone the other direction.
Okay, cool.
That's good.
I'm glad you're safe, sir.
So, Andrew, thank you very much. What can we do for you tonight?
Okay, well, I've listened to quite a few of your shows, and I'm very impressed with, first off, all the knowledge you have in it, and all this good stuff. I'm kind of buttering you up because I do have one complaint. I guess it would be an oversight.
You should have seen Brett just now. I wish the cameras weren't off.
Yeah, we don't have cameras tonight, but I just gave two thumbs up and then I flexed at your compliment. But you say you have a complaint, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's not a very scientific thing is the problem, but I think you often neglect the parents and the families... the emotional interest that they have, the love that they feel for their children, that sort of that spirit, where you're just not going to get that from any strangers. You're not going to get that from any public education. And I just always wonder that you never actually bring that up in your discussion of why it'd be better to decentralize education.
So you feel like we're neglecting talking about the family?
Yeah, well, just you often neglect to just because you often say, you know, who's better to teach these children? And I think that, the aspect of, you know, just this emotion, this love for the children, of course the parents are going to be more invested in wanting their children to be smarter and more capable. So it's one of the pieces of the argument, I think, that you're neglecting to really spend much time with.
Yeah, you know, I have my area of expertise from my experience. There's a range of subjects that I'm comfortable talking about, and I would much rather defer, and I reference their work very, very frequently on my show to Stefan Molyneux and Wes Bertrand. Stefan Molyneux is freedomainradio.com, and Wes Bertrand is completeliberty.com. And you know, I wanted to be all things, but I just realized that those guys, the depth and the breadth of the knowledge that they have about those topics, I would rather defer people to them.
Yeah, I've listened to both those podcasts, and they cover those topics.
Yeah, I think they're very thorough, and I do understand, and I do try to bring up that there is this other element to childhood that needs to be explored, but I would rather be sending people to their work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
So
because actually you're quite good with doing. If I could, I'll take the rest of this off of there actually after this. But if I could encourage you to do more of your history stuff, where you just talk about people and how things have occurred and that sort of stuff, you're fantastic at it, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I would just encourage you to do more of that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do. Have you heard the Nazis series yet?
I believe so. I've been reading or hearing a lot about the fascists through either you and Peace Revolution or one and not the other. But yeah, I've been getting a lot of it lately.
Good, good. We just did a big series called The American Way. It was about 5 hours long, and we talk about the rise of Nazism in Central Europe.
You're saying we.
Yeah, it's a word I use to feel less
lonely. You're talking about the funding of the Nazis through like Prescott Bush and J.P. Morgan and all these, or are you talking about...
Oh,
there's so many aspects to the Nazis and what's in corporate America and the ties and everything.
I really like the funding stuff and, you know, how this money came from all of these different American banks and how Prescott Bush was involved. But I just really couldn't nail down anything completely solid on that because, you know, we're getting into the realm of conspiracy there. But Prescott Bush, the last president's father, was actually indicted in the early 1940s, I think, under the Trading with the Enemies Act. So I like that stuff. I couldn't.
Do you mean grandfather?
Yeah. Oh, grandfather. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about like you've done. You did the one on like Abraham Lincoln. Maybe not him. You did one on Roosevelt. Did you do one on Wilson?
Yep. We've talked about Wilson.
You've done a bunch in the educational historical figures, and those are great too. I mean, those I absolutely love those.
Yeah,
those are the ones I'm speaking about.
It's a great way for me to learn more too. I think one of the best ways to learn is by trying to teach.
So Mandrick wants to hear about things that you love about him.
Whoa! What? I don't need to.
Can we hear more about
Mandrick? No, it's okay. I'm fine. I love Brett for the same reasons you said. I started listening to the show many years ago, and then I met Brett, and well, I mean, I still like the show.
Yeah. Wow, this is awkward silence. It isn't. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I think that these historical topics are really important because I think that context is really helpful, and if you understand some of these things in a more complete way, you can become more effective in your, you know, arguing voluntarist principles with other people. So I look forward to doing more of that stuff in the future. And
I don't think he's there anymore.
No, he's there. I can hear him. Anything else?
Hello? Oh, yeah, I'm still here. Oh, you can probably hear the cars driving by. I'm outside.
Yep.
No, just that. Thank you very much. And keep up the good work, yeah.
Go, Brett.
My pleasure. And I really do encourage people to check out Stefan Molyneux and Wes Bertrand, freedomainradio.com and completeliberty.com.
Brett, stop flexing.
Okay, and that wasn't just for Brett. He's just the one that I have the most exposure to, so.
Excellent.
Now you're exposing yourself to people.
Right.
Well, good job, Brett.
We appreciate your feedback. Thank you very much for calling, and have a good night. So, compliments for me.
Nothing from Andrick.
That's all right.
All right.
No, I mean, I wanted to. We ran out of time in the last segment. I was
new
so.
Call.
Answer the phone, Brett.
Let's take another call. 914, you are on School Sucks Live. Who's this?
Oh, this is John from New York.
Oh, hey, John. How you doing?
Hey, John.
Hey, pretty good. Thanks. How's everybody going?
We're all either sick or exhausted or just having some kind of terrible time or technical difficulty or a mustache.
Or all those things. Many of us. We all have facial hair this week.
Yeah. Nothing anyway. Well, I'm just calling. The previous caller was talking a little bit about well, families. So I thought I would talk a little bit about the opt-out movement with high-stakes testing that's going on.
Sure, we will hold you over, and we can continue that when we get back in just a couple minutes. This is School Sucks Live with Brett Mandrick and Osborne.
He was going to say the other caller was talking about you. That's what you thought. You started smiling when he said that.
We'll be right back. John, hang with us.
Good thing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to School Sucks Live. I'm Brett. With me tonight, Mandrick and Osborne, two of my favorite guys.
Oh.
Yeah. Just about, you know.
You have a lot of favorite guys. I'm glad to be one of them.
Yeah. You're definitely in my 150 favorite guys.
Well, I'm in your top five.
Yeah.
Just admit it.
Yeah, no, you are. When I see you, I just...
okay.
So,
Porkfest, guys. Well, how about that sandwich that I ate?
Let's get back to
Poland. Oh, well, I don't think you unmuted Osborne. There you go.
There you
go.
Osborne. Sorry, Osborne.
Oh, I suggested we might want to get back to the caller.
Right.
Yeah. Yep, so we have John in New York. John,
I
are you there?
I froze up there, sorry.
Oh.
John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So you were talking about testing, which is like something that happens in school.
Correct, right. Specifically the high-stakes standardized testing, because, you know, assessment in general as a concept is not necessarily a bad thing. It's good to know how you're doing. And
did you just say high-stakes, like poker?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's like a $10,000 buy-in for one of these tests?
Well, there's a lot riding on it, you know. Everything's attached to funding. Everybody's jobs dependent on it. People are going to teach to a test. People are going to take away from the experience that a child's going to get, you know, because the test is the most important thing. So
are these the same tests that they always forced you to take in public school that were like, these don't count towards your grade, but you have to take it anyways?
Well, those are the ones I'm talking about. Okay. Although I didn't grow up in the States, so I didn't have to take those tests. Somehow I was able to end up getting educated anyway. So
now, John,
amazingly, they didn't actually have anything to do with my education.
John, would you call the SAT a high stakes test?
It is certainly a very important test as far as its role within the education system. I'm speaking about things where you have absolutely zero option, or at least a perception of zero option to take. The poor kids from third to eighth grade who spend pretty much half a year preparing and taking these tests with like zero research to base or to back up any real educational value to them.
So high stakes for the test we're talking about are high stakes for the school. Right. You know, they're not really high stakes for a kid. Yeah.
So is this different now than when I was a kid? Because, I mean, we had these tests, too, that we'd take every year. I think there was the California Achievement Test and the Metropolitan Achievement Test. And I remember they just kind of sprung those on us.
That's how I remember
just one day.
It was
like, hey, we're taking tests this week. Here you go.
They don't count. Don't worry.
But there was I never really felt like there was any preparation for it.
Well, yeah, that's not true anymore.
Okay.
Now the whole year basically revolves around them.
Wow.
And I can tell you, because I'm in New York, where Pearson Education has just won like some major multi-million dollar bid to run these tests, and the kids are they have to spend about 12 hours just in testing alone, so doing ridiculous questions that haven't really been fully thought out, and in many cases don't even have right answers provided.
Now, is this still
a lot of problems this past year?
So, John, is this still the fill in the bubble? We got a math section, we've got a reading comprehension section, that kind of thing.
Yeah. There's one almost every other grade. One for math, one for English, and then for certain grades they have them for science and for social studies, although those are kind of the next tier down.
So it sounds the same as the same. Sounds like similar to the same type of test we took as kids.
In New York?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, every state has something like this. Yeah.
In New York it's called the Regents.
Gotcha.
I have a story.
This is not the Regents test. This is it's different from the Regents. This is something that they've been doing for a while. The Regents is sort of an exit assessment. These are things that are done along the way, and the school will be put basically on super secret double academic probation,
right,
if it doesn't get a certain number of kids passing. And and teachers get all freaked out. I'm a teacher, so we get all freaked out because your job depends on getting these kids to pass. And so, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to make sure that the kids pass. How are you going to do that? You're going to take time away from anything that might be more educational.
Go ahead,
so
Russell.
I'm always confused by this, John. Maybe you can explain to me. Like, how do you go about teaching to the test? Because, I have a hard time relating to this, because to me, I mean, either you can take the test or you're kind of a dumbass.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen it from that point of view, but you hold on to previous tests, you learn the style of question that's being asked, and basically, Gatto talked about this quite often, that the tests are really just a measure of your ability to take the test at that point. And everything is at the bubble in Scantron. There's really, if the answer involves anything other than, right, wrong answer, yes, no, then you're really not, you're not testing for anything beyond what the few parameters, which may or may not be valid. Maybe they are in some cases. You're not testing for anything of significance beyond that. But the big problem is that it pushes everything else to the side.
Yeah.
Now, John, you want to hang on the line while Mandrick tells a story? He looks like he wants to tell a story.
Oh, I was just going
to
tell a quick story about how I remember when I was a senior in AP Physics.
Ooh.
Yes. We were given, just like Osborne said, hey, we're going to take one of these tests today. And I was like, I'm not taking this test today. So they handed it out to me, and I just put my name on it. And I sat there, and I walked up there, and I handed it to the teacher. And he's just like, you can't do that. You have to take it. And I said, I just did. And then I walked away. What would happen if a student did that in your class? Because I refused to take it. I was like, this is completely a waste of my time, and I'm not doing it.
What would you do, John? You're a teacher.
Yeah, because the students... And this is part of this new opt-out movement. I'm a parent also. I'm very concerned about my kids being involved with these tests, because they don't necessarily have any educational backing to them, and they get the kids all worked up and what have you. there really is no requirement for a student to take the test. The school has to put the kids in a room, put a test in front of them, and they have, you know, for their sake, for the school's sake, have to get the kids, as many kids to pass as possible. Because, again, it's part of the No Child Left Behind, race to the top kind of stuff that, you know, if you don't have enough kids passing, then your school gets, these problems. But if you, this was a guy who had that great thing called the Bartleby Project, where it just said, I would prefer not to take this test. When you hand it back, there's really not much they can do about it.
I didn't know if they would come after you, like if certain teachers would try to bully students.
Hey, John, thank you very much for the call tonight. We are going to go to 585. You are on School Sucks Live. Who's this?
Hiya, this is Andy calling. How are you this evening?
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, first one is to let you know I was trying to hold off to call until you guys offered me a thing of hard liquor, but you didn't put that out there for the first caller, so I was wanted to see where the conversation was going to lead.
You might have us confused with another show.
Is that a whatcha drinking on joke?
Ooh, yeah. Anyway, we'll hold you over for the next segment. This is School Sucks Live. We will be right back. Andy, hang with us.
Sounds great.
Hey, folks, this is School Sucks Live. I am Brett with Mandrick and Osborne, and we're doing a live show. We're talking about we were talking about testing before, and we're about to go back to the phone and take a call from Andy. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
So what's on your mind tonight?
Well, first, I hope that I'm referring to the same show we're talking about now, Osborne. Happy birthday. That's an amazing
happy birthday,
sombrero.
Osborne.
I am so jealous.
Thank you, sir. I enjoy it myself.
Oh, that's great that you've seen the video of the sombrero. I'm really proud of those videos, and no one is watching them. That one has like 50 views.
50 people, 57 people saw it. And 58, because I watched some of it today.
Yeah, it's. I love that video.
School Sucks.
Hey, that
podcast. What is it?
That's great. The only videos I ever put up, they get zero views. So that you guys are viral in my book.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, well, you were talking about nerd monkeys and stuff, and I wanted to share a quick story about my first date.
Okay.
This is great.
Go ahead.
Watch the movie Outbreak, and that was an old Michael Crichton thing.
Yeah.
With and my wife, she was a nursing major at the time, so she knew all of the.
You
the
were already
stuff
married.
Going on.
Hold on. You,
and stuff was
hold on.
Horrible.
Hold on. You were already married on your first date.
No, but we're coming up on our 15th anniversary now, so she's willing to put up with me even though I took her to a horrible movie our first time going out.
Now, back up a sec here. Now, Outbreak, is that the one with Dustin Hoffman and Rene Russo?
And monkeys.
And lots of monkeys.
I think so. I don't remember who was in it. I just remember I'm
sitting
there going,
story, man.
This is a disaster.
Okay, fair enough.
So go on, Andy.
Sure. So another reason I called in, I live in Greece, New York, and that's the home of the Bully Bus Monitor.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really, really interested in your guys' take on that.
For those who don't know, tell us more about this story.
Sure. What happened was there were four middle schoolers on a bus who...
Yep.
Because it was the last day of school, thought that they would have some fun by being absolutely horrible to this older woman. She's in her late 60s, seems very kind, very nice, but her job is to make sure the kids on the bus behave. Anyway, they ended up calling her names, saying horrible things. It was absolutely unbelievable. They've raised well over $600,000 for a vacation fund. I'd love to know where she's going to be able to go with all that money, but it's just been crazy because there's been such strong reactions against the kids, even frustrated with the monitor getting this money. It's been crazy around here.
Now, what part of New York are you in? Greece, New York. Where is that?
Yeah, that's just outside of Rochester. So we're in western New York, about an hour from Buffalo, about an hour from Niagara Falls.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I certainly feel bad for the woman, you know, if she's getting bullied by middle school kids. And
I wonder what those kids' lives are like, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, what do they deal with on a daily basis?
As far as bullying is concerned?
Yeah. Or how did they get like that, you know?
Well, I mean, it's easy to gang up on kids, right? Like, when something happens, it's easy to say, oh, these kids today, they're right. Terrible. They're
like they were just born to just pick on old ladies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot behind that story. But obviously, this is a problem that we see. And I've said for a long time, for years, that this kind of behavior is a symptom of forced associations, right? So, like... Yep. When kids are, people are forced to be together, they can't escape these situations, they're not going to behave in a positive way towards other people.
Yeah, same thing happens in prison, right?
Prison, the military. Yeah, absolutely.
Even family reunions.
Yeah.
Oh, those were the worst. Remember family reunions?
I've never gone to one.
Really?
No.
I went to one, and... this old lady yelled at me.
Was it your mom?
Nope. Oh. Older.
Well,
older lady.
Your grandma.
Oh, she was. It was my grandma. It was my dad's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She yelled at me.
Hey, I have a last day of school story on a bus.
Okay, great.
This is also terrible, and I'm not too proud of this.
Okay.
But so last day of school, a bunch of us, this is like, I don't know, ninth grade maybe? I'm in ninth grade. I graduated in 98. We... stole some paper. I guess it wasn't me. Some other kid did it. Stole some, like, sheets of paper. Yeah. And he basically opened the packets up, and he, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, reams of paper, like a whole packet. And as we are driving by this giant row of bushes, he just threw them out the window, like this whole, like, I don't know however many hundred sheets, and it just completely covered this person's yard, and they were standing in it when it happened. So it was pretty terrible because this guy's just like, oh my God, my entire yard's covered in paper. And then he topped off the last day by just throwing out the seat cushion to the chair he was sitting in. Like, literally broke it off and just threw it out the window. And bus driver never saw it.
And why do you feel terrible about that? You tattle?
No, I participated a little bit.
How?
I helped him break the cushion off the seat.
Wow. Yeah. Mandrick, come on. You know, Andy, I don't want to, like, give these kids a total pass, but I do think that we need to recognize the environment that, you know, school is and the behavior that it helps engender in a lot of respects. I mean, bullying has become a huge problem, and they've tried to blame it on different things. But for me, it really has to do with the environment. And I think that that's the thing that nobody wants to look at. You know, these forced associations, nobody wants to acknowledge that. So they always want to try and blame it on something else.
That makes a lot of sense. You're right. Because when you feel trapped, you're going to lash out.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think it's unfortunate that this kind of behavior was directed towards this old woman. But... it's horrible to see what these kids are doing to each other. I know that this story just got recognition because it's a little bit different than what's going on in these schools every day, you know, from peer to peer.
I agree with that. And it does seem strange that the way people have reacted, it's as though this is an isolated thing, neglecting the fact that it happens in almost every school, almost every day all year.
Right, and there's other situations where the bus driver's screaming at kids, you know.
Yeah, or even physically abusing kids.
There's been videos of that, that's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I suppose the takeaway that I've taken is that if it isn't caught on video, it doesn't happen. And that reminds me of something you've said before, Brett, that one of the most powerful things a kid can do is take out their cell phone. Say, if you keep talking to me this way, I'm just going to tape it.
Yeah, I actually caught a little bit of crap for that because people were saying, you know, is that really the right thing to do? But I think it is. I think that the more these people feel like they are susceptible to, you know, what the kids are susceptible to, that somebody might turn a camera on them. I mean, there's cameras on these kids all day long in school. So go ahead.
And I agree. In fact, sharing a bit more, I am a public school teacher, and I think that if there's that sense that those times where I'm feeling frustrated and I want to say something that I shouldn't, just knowing that, hey, it could be caught on tape, I think would make anyone think twice before before acting disrespectfully.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the kids have to kind of deal with the situation of the cameras being on them, you know, the constant watchful eye being on them all the time. So I think that it would be good if that was a two-way street.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. So, okay, Andy, thank you very much for your call. By the way, what do you teach?
I teach 7th grade math. I'm sure it sounds horrifying, but I love it because I'm at about the same emotional level as the kids. So it's a blast.
All right. Well,
I'm amazed at how many. Well, I guess it's not really surprising, but I'm curious. I wonder how many of your audience, listening audience, Brett, how many of them are public school teachers?
I'm really happy that we're hearing from some folks who teach in these schools.
It's the second one just tonight. So I'm just curious, general listeners, you know, who amongst listeners?
I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? I mean, it's just like any other government agency. The people who understand the most the problems within the agency are the people who are there working in it,
right?
And they don't want that system to exist.
And again, I'll admit, I'm in too deep. I'm not going to be quitting tomorrow or anything. But being challenged, being pushed to think about what I can do to help make things better, that's really important. You guys have really pushed me in that direction, so I appreciate what you're doing.
I'm happy to hear that, Andy. Have a good night. This is School Sucks Live. We will be right back. We can take your call. 843-JOIN-SSP. Skype in School Sucks Live.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to School Sucks Live. I'm Brett. With me tonight, Mandrick. He just has the biggest, most handsome grin on his face right now. And Osborne,
who is half asleep. And, hey, there he goes.
Man, as the show goes on, I just get sicker and sicker, and my mustache is thicker and thicker.
It's, yeah.
Maybe you caught the disease from your mustache.
Yeah, they do say that mustaches carry diseases.
I told you not to rub raw chicken all over your mustache.
That's it's supposed to help it grow.
No.
Oh, well, I don't know.
It must be something different.
This is my first mustache.
It,
I don't know.
You should have it like going all the way down, like from your face, like, and just lines just down, straight down to your chest, all the way down to your ball fro.
Yeah.
Area.
And then what do I do? Show it to you when that's done?
No, I don't want to see it. No. Osborne is now taking off his headphones, and he's just quit the show.
During when we were off there, we were talking about Porkfest some more.
We talked about Alex Jones.
We one of the guys who just stole the show. His name was Brian Hagen. He came up from Kansas with Tracy Ward, and we had to fill in for Wheels Off Liberty.
I don't know who this Brian Hagen guy is, but I know Alex Jones was there.
It was Brian Hagen.
No, that was Alex Jones at Porkfest.
Yeah, Alex Jones at Porkfest. That's what we were saying. Hagen is not a real person.
Oh, I got you. So, okay.
So, I mean, this was one of the guys who just did such a fantastic job. I mean, there were so many people that really did some commendable work at Porkfest, myself included. And Brian Hagen was one of them. What did you guys think of Brian Hagen?
Spitting image of this other guy we were talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the funniest thing about Porkfest.
Right. So what you want to explain?
And
what he did?
Second, very close second were your jokes during the roast of Chris Lawless.
Yes. Yeah.
I love Brian Hagen.
He's great. I thought he did. And he was a terrific guy too. We hung out quite a bit during the week.
The two times I got to get away for 5 minutes, Brian Hagen.
You went right to Brian Hagen.
I just went right to Brian.
Yeah.
And the ladies.
Yeah, I shot some good video of the two of you outside the big gay dance party, which I thought Dale and Neil from Flaming Freedom, we're in Dale's studio right now. They did a fantastic job with that as well.
I wasn't there.
No, I wasn't. I was there for maybe like 45 minutes. But that was the big night that I had to get ready for everything that I had to do on stage. And it was the comedy stuff, so it was very nerve-wracking.
Right.
That was a nerve-wracking day for me.
Poor thing. How did you ever survive? You had a nerve-wracking day at Porkfest. Please, cry on my shoulder. Or cry on his shoulder, Mr. Osborne, the guy who organized Porkfest. Pick a shoulder to cry on.
Well,
I have to admit, I did not see anything of the big gay dance party.
Because you were too busy working. You didn't have 45 minutes to hang out there.
I also felt like if I walked in there, I would have to see something that I would regret.
Really?
But I will never know because I didn't see it.
You don't, you're going to regret midget trannies?
I don't know. That or, you know, these kids and their drugs.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And their soda pop.
I didn't want to have to see it.
Yeah, you have music. To be. You have to be like a real kind of authority.
Yeah, I know. Like when people would smoke pot in front of me, I would say, hey, please turn your head and do that in a different direction.
Now, why did you feel like you had to do that?
Because if I see it, then I know about it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm responsible for it.
I had
so I need plausible deniability.
I even had people smoking in front of my stand, and I was like, could you please go somewhere else and not smoke?
Smoking pot?
In the
kitchen.
Yeah. Like, right by, and I'm just like, could you please not do that here? I just don't.
Here, would you like to cough on the burgers too?
Right, right. Yeah. It's kind of one of those things.
Well, you guys were just on top of your game.
We're absolutely killjoy, but I can't even.
Yeah. The best was when I had to go down on the field and pull the plug on the speakers in the middle of the night.
Wow. This was like, I saw this thing like from beginning to end, right? Some kid walks up to Jason and his wife, Sharon, and they've got like, you can tell they have like a million things going on. And he goes, right. I'd like to have like, kind of like a rave in the, in here tonight. And Osborne gives the kid this look like, I'm not going to say anything, but hopefully the look on my face will answer your question as to whether or not you can have a rave in the pavilion. And then Sharon, I don't know if we mentioned JJ, who did all the video work.
Right.
But he was pulling like 16-hour days doing 3-cam, which is like a dream of mine, 3-cam HD video of everything that happened in the pavilion, which is where all the big events are during Porkfest. And Sharon says, yeah, I don't think JJ is going to want to stay up and like do the party. But Osborne just continues to glare at this guy like, you're an idiot. Why would we have a rave in here at this time? You know. So anyway, what Jason suggested was that they could use the tent outside by the fire. Now, what this kid takes that as is that they can have a rave in the tent. So at about, it must have been, I see Osborne, right? Because we're in the
What day was this?
It was one of the last
Saturday.
Days.
It was the last day.
Yeah. Oh, I was cooking.
So we're in the VIP tent, very important person tent, at the end of the day. And Osborne is just like, oh, I'm beat. I'm going to bed. About an hour and a half later, a rave begins in the tent, just echoing this techno music throughout the campground.
Through the entire campground.
Right. So I don't see it.
I didn't hear it, but I was still working.
Yeah, yeah. But Brian Travis, another guy, his son Cooper was about to do a little concert by the fire, a nice quiet concert with a guitar and some drums. Right? And this rave starts.
I believe he prefers Coop, but go ahead. Yes.
And Brian gets all upset. He's like, what the hell is this music? We're about to have a concert here by the fire. And I said, I don't think this is going to last that long. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the music is off. Right? Now, during my count to five.
Well, it had to have been longer because I had to get up and put on pants and go running down the hill. And by running, I mean walking. Falling. Oh.
What you should have done to really show you're in charge, no pants, Panama hat.
And just stare at the kid till he unplugged the speaker.
I did something like that. I had pants, but not really much shirt.
Oh.
So like the intention was to be like, you just pulled me out of sleeping, you idiots.
Why didn't you just use that stare to just make the speakers explode?
Oh, I did. And then I don't even know who this kid was. I think I could describe him, but I won't.
Let's out him.
Anyway, so he's like, hey, man, what's good? You know, or something like that. And I gave him the glare again. And so I turned on the crazy talk.
This is what I heard. I heard the story.
Oh, you heard this?
Yeah. I didn't hear it, Carrie, and neither did the four listeners.
So I get my eyes really big, right? And then I just start saying the F word, like, over and over. At him. like, are you effing kidding me? This is the last. We almost made it. We're like hours away from being at the end of this thing. And you can't wait just another couple hours.
For the rave. When would the rave have been, though?
No, that would be a rave. He would go home.
Fest to be over.
That would be the end.
And there wouldn't
be
any F-ups.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I thought you just... it was a marvelous event, and I can't... I could rave about the work that you two guys did. This is School Sucks Live. We still have plenty of time for your call.
Yeah, but I got paid. That's the difference.
843, join SSP, Skype in, School Sucks Live. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back to School Sucks Live. You can give us a call at 843-JOIN-SSP. This is Brett. I'm here with Mandrick and Osborne. And Corey is in the room, too. We have kind of a studio audience.
He's our videographer, right?
Yeah, he's about to shoot some video of us because we don't have any other...
Right. I got one complaint from a listener.
Yeah.
My roommate, who said, this video is not live. And I want a refund.
What video is
I'm
he
guessing
talking about?
That there are more expletives in the way he said it.
Yes. There may or may not be.
Now, he was your...
He's my business partner.
So I don't want to call him your right-hand man. You're kind of each other's right-hand
man.
No,
he's the guy that does everything, and I'm just like, put me in front of a grill, and I'll just cook food fast.
So he's the brains, and you're more like the charisma. Not that he isn't charismatic, but you're like... Hey, everybody, I'm the guy.
Look at me, I'm funny. And I
believe Luther brought the charisma.
He did. I make crazy sandwiches and cook, and everybody knows me. I don't know. Apparently people like me.
I think maybe one of these days in the after show, we should come up with the new Mandrick sandwich.
Oh.
Well, I think that could be loads
of fun. I invented a new sandwich. I've invented a lot of new sandwiches. My favorite that I invented was, it was a bacon weave. With two hot dogs and tzatziki sauce, and I called it, wait for it, the sword fight.
In your mouth.
Yes. People come up and like, can I get the sword fight? And it's like, Luther and I can help you with that.
Right. You know what we forgot to talk about tonight?
What?
School. This is supposed to be a show about school.
We did a couple times. We
talked about school.
We did.
And sword fights.
What we're saying here is that these two guys are exhausted. They had a very hard week. I'm just as sick as can be. And we've had technical issues tonight. And we're just kind of here going through the motions. But we still have time for your call. If you want to get this thing back on track, 843-JOIN-SSP, JOINSSP. For School Sucks Podcast, or you can Skype in School Sucks Live. We will take your call. A lot of people tried to call in, but we had pretty loaded phones earlier, and they couldn't get through. So if that was Osborne's been real excited about getting a call from Ohio. He saw the 419 area code. He's like, oh, Ohio, I want to talk to that person, but they never called back. But you actually said you had a topic that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, maybe we can. I know you probably get tired of consulting me on all of my recalcitrant siblings, but I do have this sister of mine, and now we have a call, of course,
excellent.
We began talking about this new topic.
All right, well, let's see if we can put this person on. Nicholas, are you there?
I'm here. Let me just turn my radio down.
Sure, no problem. And you sound like some kind of Brit.
Foreigner.
No. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. We spoke Colbert Report when Richard Grove was hosting the Colbert Report, and we did a a thing on yoga again.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for listening tonight. What's on your mind?
Oh well, I haven't called into your show, and I've been meaning to for a while. And again, I'm fascinated by the American way. I've actually recently got back from America, albeit Hawaii, and I just thought maybe I could offer some opinions or something. I don't know.
Oh sure, yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Does Hawaii count as America?
I don't.
Well, that's I don't. I don't know, but it's definitely, there's like, you know, the American accent and the television, the radio, the newspapers are all American. So I suppose if the media is American, then it must be America, yeah?
Could be. I know it looks a lot better than any America I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's got nice beaches.
Some fruit company claimed it for America in the latter half of the 1800s.
Hmm.
I think, do you know which one, Nicholas? I think it was Dole. I don't want to say Dole, Del Monte, one of them.
I have a feeling that you might be referring to the bananas. When there was a big banana plantations and Cuba was causing a bit of a problem, but I could be wrong on that.
Oh, no, this story repeats in several different locations. It happened in Guatemala. It happened in Central America. It also happened in Hawaii, where Hawaii was an independent kingdom, and it had a queen. Her name was Liliuokalani. And some...
Is that German?
Why did I butcher the pronunciation?
I don't know.
No, but
it's a VR special edition, maybe.
Yeah, there was this queen, and there was a kingdom, and they were kind of happy as you can be with a queen and stuff. And
I bet you'd be pretty happy with a queen.
Some fruit company sent the U.S. military there. They took it over and they annexed it, and it eventually became a state, I believe, in the 1950s. But Hawaii was once independent.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to speak out of turn here, but the Hawaiians are very, not xenophobic is the wrong word. I want to say racist, to be blunt about it. And they would ideally like to have that kingdom reinstalled and the Americans out. The other thing that's really interesting about Hawaii, I went to Pearl Harbor, which... is an experience. Jamie Lee Curtis narrates that. The whole thing is the Japanese bombed the Americans in Pearl Harbor. And everywhere in Hawaii, the languages that are everywhere is Japanese and English.
So, who are they racist against? I'm not sure I'm entirely following you here.
What? White men, the native Hawaiians are racist against white people in general.
And the Japanese, you're saying?
I would assume so, but I'm just saying, like, it's two parallel things that happen simultaneously. So there's this real racist vibe when you meet the Hawaiian people. Not that they're not polite, but you just sense that they don't like the... And then the other thing that happens is there's a huge amount of Japanese contingent. There's a lot of Japanese people there. And then I just think that's interesting, the dynamic with the Pearl Harbor being the big attraction at Hawaii, in Waikiki at least.
That's the big attraction is Pearl Harbor?
I think so.
Wow.
I would think there's so much more there to see. I've never been. Have you guys been to Hawaii?
No, I have not.
Osborne, you're...
I have not. I'm not for sitting in an airplane long enough to get there.
Right.
So I'd probably bail out like halfway there, and then I'd sink in the ocean.
Man, it wouldn't be cool. Just die.
Yeah.
You can't...
For sure. Well, I got pneumonia traveling back from Hawaii on the plane.
That's nice.
Back to Australia?
Yeah.
Is it a shorter...
10, 12-hour flight.
Is it shorter? 12 hours. How long is it from, like, New Hampshire?
To Hawaii?
Yeah. You can't fly to California, right?
Okay, so you can't go straight. So from when you're flying against the jet stream to California, it's about 5.
Yeah.
And then to Hawaii, maybe another 5. So maybe 10 with a layover, with a stop somewhere. So
in the middle of the ocean?
10-hour flight. I'm real into talking about like how to get to places and how much time it takes. That's like one of my favorite things to do.
What if you crossed over the North Pole area?
That would be a terrible route.
But you could see Santa Claus.
Wouldn't make any sense.
Why would you do that? It's like you're going backwards.
I wasn't deliberately going anyway.
So one place that I want, have you ever been to New Zealand?
Me?
Yeah.
When I was very young, my uncle, my dad's brother, lives there, and he got married there, and it's a family reunion. You were talking about family reunions a little while ago?
Yeah.
Okay, well, at family reunions, the big story about me, not so much anymore, but, you know, in years past, was that at this particular wedding in New Zealand, I ate everything. And I mean everything. Whole chickens, whole hams, everything. And I was 2 years old at the
time.
That's
delicious.
People just kept...
Nicholas, yeah. we'll hold on to you. We'll be right back. This is School Sucks Live. Everybody, welcome back to School Sucks Live. Usually this is like a sad part of the show when it's our last segment, but I just can't wait for this to be over tonight. I cannot wait to get back into my bed. Oh, I feel terrible.
I can't wait to get back into your bed either.
I was going to say it, but I'm glad you did, Jason.
No after show tonight, folks. First of all, because we have no place to do it. Usually we rely on Ustream for that. We're having technical difficulties in that respect. These two guys are exhausted. I'm a sick man with a mustache, and that's
not just a regular mustache.
No, Fu Manchu.
A Fu Manchu.
How long do you think I should keep this for?
You've kept it long enough.
Does it even count as being there yet?
No, why? It's because it's still kind of like growing
it's
in.
Just like, it's, yeah, it hasn't got there yet.
My face itches. I haven't shaved in like 12 days.
That looks very itchy, sir.
I'm not a fan of facial hair. So, as long as I've ever grown it.
Hey, Nicholas, you're back on with us. I just want to tell
the
a story real
love
quick.
It, though.
Yeah, you look good, kind of scruffy. You're a good looking guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead, Nick.
So anyway, Nicholas, I just want to tell this story. This is what we had planned. Mandrick and I, we kind of arranged this on Sunday night.
You arranged this, not me.
And he didn't go along with it. I said, okay, Osborne has had a very, very stressful week. So what we need to do on Thursday night is cheer him up with a little prank that we're going to play on him. And he'll really get a kick out of it. So we were both going to, Mandrick and I were both unshaven at this point on Sunday.
Yeah, I was on like day 8 at this point.
Yeah, and I had this like a little beard thing going on, but you know, just more of a not a neglect beard, but kind of like a stylish
right,
darker, you know. All right, so anyway.
You were a man with a secret.
So basically you were just doing the minimum upkeep.
Yeah. But you know, I was camping, so it's like beard, you know, I have a camping beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so I can follow this story, bro. Porkfest went for, did you say 12 days?
No. Mandrick didn't shave for 12 days. Porkfest went for, I think, about 7 days total.
I just haven't shaved because I'm just lazy.
Right. So
another shaving's awful.
Oh, yeah. Well, Osborne is real into it, and we can talk about that in a minute.
I like shaving, actually, now, because I have the same type of setup as Osborne.
Well.
Mine's better.
Oh, excuse me. Same type of.
What we plan to do.
Look at me, I'm Osborne, and my shaving things are better.
That is what he says.
That's exactly what he just said.
So,
it was my birthday, and I spent some money and got me some shaving stuff.
Did anyone else get you a birthday present besides me? I hope so.
No.
That's a bunch of BS.
I gave him some bacon.
Well, anyway, so on the last night of Porkfest, where it's just a few of us left hanging out, we're having a wonderful time.
I had a surprise buffet.
Mandrick did like
fundraiser.
A potluck fundraiser
for
buffet.
mailtojail.com.
And afterwards, we're sitting there, and I said, here's what we're going to do to Osborne. We are going to go on Thursday, and we're both going to have mustaches.
And I agreed to none of this, by the way.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, this is all me just planning it out. I said, we're going to have mustaches. And I'm going to refer to you as G. and you're going to refer to me as B.
As B, yep.
And we're not going to say anything to Osborne about what is going on.
On the air, we're going to do this.
Why do we have these new nicknames for each other? Why do we have mustaches? And we're just going to do the show. The whole show, and he will sit there completely stunned.
In our puker voices.
Hey, Brett!
Does Mandrick's first name start with G?
Mandrick's birth name is George.
And my nickname, since I was like one or two, is G.
Yeah, his sister calls him G.
And you met my sister at Porkfest.
I did meet your sister at Porkfest.
Right.
Another wonderful person. Like, just a great week of meeting really great people.
Stop flirting with my sister.
So, Nicholas, anything else before we have to wrap up the show tonight?
Well, so hang on. So that was the prank. How did it go down?
It didn't.
That's very anticlimactic.
It actually
left us hanging.
The prank continued to involve. Brett's like, okay, we can take our pants off, and we'll do a thing with this. Our things where we do the helicopter, and I'm like, I'm not doing that with Osborne.
Oh yeah, yeah. It got real involved where we were going to, after having the mustaches and calling each other G and B, we were going to come in without pants on. Right. So this was the next phase of this. And then there was something. Yeah, there was something with almond butter where we're doing an act. We're just passing a jar of almond butter back and forth and performing acts on it. It would have been like the best prank.
It was cashew macadamia butter.
And if we weren't telling this story, we could totally do it next week. But now I think it's ruined. Yeah. So
I'm still going to have sex with my nut butter.
So hang on. You didn't actually do this.
No.
No. So I'm sitting here right now with a stupid mustache. Mandrick still has not shaved.
Since like a couple Saturdays ago.
Yeah. So the prank, turns out that the prank is on me.
Right.
Because I'm just sitting here with Fu Manchu.
Which was the plan Osborne and I had from day one. Thank you.
That's what it sounds like. Very well executed, Mandrick.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
You would appreciate it more if...
While we still have some time.
Sure.
Right.
I guess the thing that has been bothering me since I've been back and had a chance to really compare some of the cultures between my own and yours, and one of the things you probably already know is that the Australian culture has suffered, like many Western countries, a soft invasion by America. So television shows, personalities like Oprah coming to Melbourne or coming to Australia the other last year or the year before was a massive deal.
I want to say that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
Well, whenever it was, it's irrelevant, really. Like, who cares, you know? But it's just, the point is that Australia suffered a soft invasion. So we feel like we're pseudo-Americans, you know? We're the 51st or 52nd state of America, you know?
Don't worry, we don't feel that way.
Right. you guys have some great music down there.
Like what?
Actually,
Men
yeah.
at Work?
No. There's this great singer named Missy Higgins. I love her.
She's just come back as well.
I know.
She's just released a new album.
See, I just... Yeah. Oh, I know. I've known since day one, trust me. Since 2005. Anyways.
I think she's single.
I find it ridiculous.
I'll ask her out for you. We don't know each other. It's just one big fun here.
Yeah, right. I used to play online games with our cousin. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. This is absurd, you talking about this invasion, when you are the one who sent us Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe.
Oh.
Oh,
send us Missy Higgins, please.
Russell Crowe, and my apology, totally. Nicole Kidman could not act her way out of a wet paper bag. So, just so we're clear on that.
I'm a big fan of Eyes Wide Shut. I thought she was fabulous in that movie. I mean, she's terrible otherwise.
That's Kubrick. That's not Nicole.
Right.
Kubrick is a master, and actually, I'm studying. Jay Widener has a theory about The Shining, and so I'm currently looking into that, and so that Eyes Wide Shut comes into that part of it as well.
Who has a theory about this?
Jay Widener. The theory is that Kubrick was responsible for faking the footage for the Apollo missions because the Americans at the time did not want to reveal the technology they actually had due to the Cold War. So Kubrick was employed because of the job he did recreating the B-52's Dr. Strangelove by the CIA to fake the moon landings. And by the time he got to The Shining, he had had enough of it and used Stephen King's book as a vehicle to reveal a number of secrets, one of them being his faking of the moon landings.
Yeah.
I don't remember that part in The Shining.
I don't either.
Let's face it. We never went to the moon. That's such a load of BS.
We, as in us three, have never gone to the moon.
No, we
I
as
went
in,
to Wendy's last night.
You don't believe the moon thing?
I think that in addition to Kubrick being an absolute genius.
Right,
as far
of course
as like,
he was.
Yeah.
Of course.
We were actually, Nicholas, you know Richard Grove from TragedyandHope.com. We were actually talking about this a couple weeks ago where I'm interested in exploring this because Kubrick, along with Scorsese, is probably like one of my favorite filmmakers, that there's all of these hidden messages in Kubrick's films, which would explain why, you know, we see things that are so just
odd visual things. Yes.
Yeah. And you try to make sense of like 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork. Yeah, exactly. So, Nicholas, we are out of
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah,
we are.
They're all full of symbolism.
We are out of time for tonight, Nicholas. Thanks for hanging with us for these last couple segments. I'm Brett. Who are you?
Mandrick.
And
Osborne.
Thank you for listening to School Sucks Live. We will see you next Thursday.
No after school special. Sorry.
No, nothing. We're going to bed.
We all got detention.
10 p.m. next Thursday.
We're grounded.
Have a good night. Thank you for listening and take care.
I love you.
I love you too.